Sure.
Okay.
Cool. So today is December 16th. It's Friday, and this is the noon PSS meeting or group. And this week we're talking about managing triggers, which is always a lot of fun and critical to our success as parents and critical to our sanity as well. And see, right now we've got Jane and Jennifer on the line. So who wants to check in and celebrate first?
I don't mind going. I'm not sure what I'm going to say, but if I think for a minute, I'll come up with something.
All right, cool.
So, yeah, I think I'm I was noticing – so I think last time I was – I missed the last call, but the call before that – I might have missed the last two calls, actually. And we were having a hard time kind of at the start of November because there'd been a thing at school. And and I think sometimes, you know, you go kind of through, it's kind of ebbs and flows, right? At least for us, we're lucky in that, you know, not everything is an unmitigated disaster at all times.
True.
Oh, I like that.
At least I can say that at the moment. And so.
Yeah, not going to win.
So. You know, and sometimes I think that's because, so Henry is, you know, 12 in middle school, and you have lots less contact with them, right? So in some respects, you don't know what's going on in the world, and you kind of let them off, and they do their thing, and you just sort of hope, like, okay, if it's really bad, I'm going to find out, and I'm going to help him. And otherwise, even if it's not ideal, or if it's different than my experience, or if it's whatever it is, he's making his way. And so I was just kind of reflecting on that because I feel like we have these things, like what happened at the start of November, and then that kind of gets me on high alert, and then things settle down. And I don't know if they settle down because, you know, you kind of reset to a different point, and you're just used to things, or it's like the growing acceptance of, okay, my kid's kind of different, and he has a different brain, and all those kind of things. So I guess this morning he was headed out, and it's the last day of school before break. And, you know, just sometimes it feels like we just have no idea what's going on out there and what his world is like. But he's, you know, a happy kid, and he wants to go to school, and he wanted to get presents for his teachers, and he wanted to deliver them, even in seventh grade. And so just really trying to think about, you know, just all of that. There's a lot to celebrate, even though there's challenges, and, you know, we could do a better job of, in the downtime when things aren't, you know, in response to a crisis, sort of, figuring out a plan and working on it. But, you know, we're human.
But we're celebrating right now. We're not planning.
Right.
We're celebrating.
So right now, you know, he walked out the door, and I was just happy. I guess, even though I was feeling all that other stuff. So,
good.
Yeah.
Isn't that great that you can see both sides and that you can appreciate the successes, even though sometimes they seem small?
Yes.
I love that.
Yay!
Thank you. All right, Jane, what's going on with you? Let's find something good.
I was trying to rack my brain, like, all week to try to figure out what to say on one of these calls to celebrate, and I really just wanted to say nothing, but I guess from hearing that, I do need to look at both sides, that I've made school like the whole world, and I know there's other pieces to a child besides school. So if I look at that side, he's a sweet child, and we've worked – well, he's 16, so don't think I'm talking about a kid, but he's sweet to me, and I have – worked this year on myself, not screaming when homework's not done, screaming when the grades are zero. And I have learned so much about listening to his side and what's happening on the other end, and just trying to be more understanding of the fact that the neurological issues are really preventing him from being successful in school, and it's really hitting hard here in the 10th grade. So, anyway, I can celebrate the fact that our relationship is is not suffering because of my upset with what's going on in school. And I always have to keep in mind that that school isn't like the whole entire picture of the student. Although they spend their whole entire day there, and then you come home and you do your entire night on homework, and then you got to make up on the weekend. So it seems to be pervasive in the picture. But anyway.
No, but you're right. And that's a huge celebration. I know it feels like it was difficult to find something to celebrate, but I mean, the fact that your relationship is not suffering and that it's intact and that he's still good-natured and kind and thoughtful towards you, that's huge. I mean, we have clients who work years to repair the damage that's been done and to come to the place where you're at now, where you realize that even though the other stuff is important, the relationship is critical. And so that's amazing.
Yeah,
definitely.
Thank you for saying that. It's all due to the Impact ADHD program, because it gave me a different perspective. It really did.
Aw, I love that. Thank you.
Yeah, because my perspective was different, and now I have a lot more understanding, and I could see that, you know, getting screaming was not like the best thing, and it never got us anywhere, and me being stressed out never got us anywhere. So now I've changed things around, and yeah, it has helped the relationship a lot, and I'm thrilled about that, because he's the only child here. I adopted him from Russia, so it's like this thing where I'm trying to be good about being a parent.
Yeah. Awesome. Yay. Isn't that great, though? I mean, I just think it's always is so much easier to me to change me than to change somebody else. Because I somewhat have control over me. Not a lot, but somewhat.
and then you make that a good effect.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny, I think, the things that we kind of get stuck on in our heads. I was talking to someone on the call earlier this week, and it sounds like such a little shift. She was really stuck on the fact that she wanted her son to eat his vitamins before he left for school in the morning. And it never, for whatever reason, it never occurred to her that he could have them at lunch or at dinner or some other time during the day. And the vitamins were setting off this giant chain reaction in the morning where he didn't want to go, he didn't want to take the vitamins, he didn't like the taste of them, and every morning was this fight. And the simple perspective shift of, oh, you know what? I mean, the world's not going to end if he doesn't take his vitamins in the morning, if he takes them at the end of the day. made a ton of difference. And I'm not saying that all of our perspective shifts are quite that simple, but gosh, it makes a huge change. And it's always phenomenal to me. I do it too. You know, it never occurred to me that we could do this at this time instead of at this time or whatever. Huge deal. All right, someone else has joined us. Pat, how are you?
I'm good.
What's been going on? We're celebrating. You want to check in real quick?
Oh, I have a son who's 10 years old, and basically today's a half day. We're wrapping up. Thank goodness it's the holidays. So had a lot of projects, and we did pretty well, made pretty good grades on everything the last couple of weeks. So we're feeling good about the holidays.
That is huge celebration. We have all kinds of great things to celebrate this week. That's awesome. We still have a couple more days of school, unfortunately, but it feels good to be at the end of the semester. Very cool. Cool. All right, so our topic this week is going to be managing triggers. I mentioned that at the beginning of the call, but let's go back around quickly and take aim. And if it's been a while since you've taken aim, you remember we're taking aim on the change we wish to see, and it can be kind of whatever's top of mind. You know, if you've had a rough night, rough day. It can be something like that, or it can be something from a macro level. You know, we're still working on the after-school routine or whatever. So we'll go around real quick and take aim, and then we'll dive into the teaching for the day. Take a few seconds and think about what your top-of-mind take aim is, and just chime in when you're ready.
So I have a 6-year-old who doesn't have ADHD, but she is crazily controlling, and a lot of what we talk about has the ADHD component and has complicated by ADHD, but some of it is just parenting, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And at the moment, I need to take aim on everything she does because she's kind of driving me crazy. And
you know
and
what I'm going to say to that, because I can't take aim on everything.
More specific. Okay, how about everything she does while she's awake? Is that better?
Nice try. Pick one thing that's bugging you the most.
Yeah, well,
from the voice.
You know, so part of what, actually, this is just now that I say this, it always helps to talk. So, I mean, it's again just thinking about like what am I controlling? What's my thing? So, she digs her heels in about things, and I haven't done the work to figure out like what the root cause is. But, you know, when she digs her heels in about something, I just, for whatever reason, it just pushes my buttons where I just want to make her do the thing that I want. It's kind of, your vitamin example is totally ringing true to me. But I don't know, like, there's not the one thing, right? It's, she doesn't want to get out of bed in the morning. Maybe that's the thing. She doesn't want to get out of bed in the morning, and it's incredibly frustrating, and, I lose my cool about it. Is that specific enough?
Okay. Yeah. So the change you want to see is having her get out of bed when you ask her to. Is that right?
Well, I mean, I think the change I want to see is I don't want to be mad about it. I mean, that's the thing I can control, right?
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, if it were that simple, that that would be nice.
Okay.
But I do think that's what it is. I think, you know, the things where she's, you know, digging in her heels, and the one more specific, more consistent thing I can think of is, you know, in the morning, you know, about getting ready and getting going.
Okay. All right, that's fair. Do you feel like, just a clarifying question, is it different because she's your daughter and not your son? Is there any mom-daughter conflict in there, do you think?
Possibly, yes.
Okay. Good to know. All right, who's next?
Well, this is Jane. So I'm kind of unsure about exactly how to take aim other than just naming something and then what to do after that. So for taking aim, you said it's something that I want to see changed.
Yep. Usually it's like it can be anything truly. But you know,
right.
We have some people who take aim on something like big and the entire year they take aim on the same thing. And
okay.
Then we have people who take aim on something like their spouse or themselves.
Okay.
And then we have people who change all the time. And, you know, we keep it flexible because I don't want you to feel locked into whatever you took aim on. But I think your second part of the question is important, too, because what do we do with that? Or what if you take aim on something that's not related to the topic today? How does that work, right? And what happens if you don't get the answer to what you took aim on, but you get a different answer? And I think it can be a little confusing. I think the important part of it is that if you're thinking about what's going on in your life and you're kind of focusing in on one specific thing, something else may come up along the way that may or may not be related to the topic. And a lot of times we hear back from clients that whatever they took aim on may not be related to the topic. And that's okay because for whatever reason, over the course of the next 2 weeks, in between calls, somehow that problem kind of resolved itself just because we were being intentional about it or thinking about it in the framework of something else. So I know it sounds a little woo-woo, but
it does
work. Okay. So, yeah, hopefully that helps. Does that help you narrow it down a little bit?
Yeah, what I keep dwelling on is that I want to have my son's grades be not like there's like 4 Fs and 2 or 3 Ds this year. And so that's so distressing to me and to him. And I don't know how to say what I'm going to take aim on, because I have tried so many different options of how to help him with this. So I don't really know what to say to take aim on. What would be a way to say it?
So I guess it depends. I mean, there's so many things in there, right? Is it, do you want to take aim on a specific course? Do you want to take aim on how that makes you feel or your reaction to the letter grades? Do you want to take aim on, you know, finding a different school? You know, is there, if you want to take aim on just doing some more investigation about what's really going on, there's a whole, there's a lot in there. And I'm sure that's part of why it feels overwhelming.
It is overwhelming. So I don't even know, it wakes me up in the morning and I'm just like, I don't know. Take aim.
Is there a change that you can, is there one change that would make a big difference? Or one thing that you can change that would make a big difference for you and for him?
Yes, the one thing would be for him to not feel that he is a failure because his grades are a failure, and that he can still get his goals in life. Because he asked me seriously the other day, Mom, if I drop out now, and I was just floored that he's even gotten to that point, because that means he's so sad and stressed. He said, can I still get into the Army, and can I still own my own business? So they're kind of, I don't know why he wants to go in the Army, but he does want to have his own business. He's been big on
that's
that.
Awesome.
He thinks he has to, go to college and get a business degree. Well, you know, he can't even do the 10th grade work. So.
Yeah.
I know. So I guess
it's
the
about
thing to take aim on, making him understand that these grades aren't defining him as a person.
Yeah.
That he'll be okay.
That's
something
huge.
Like that.
That's wonderful. Oh, I love it. I love it. That's huge. Just curiosity. How's he doing? Is he doing okay socially?
Spiritually?
Socially, sorry, with other kids his age or
socially? No, and he never has. He has a very difficult time with making friends. I mean, he's got one in school, but he's more like a silly. He gravitates to the ones that, like, are really real silly, because it makes it fun for him. He thinks it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a close friend, no. He has a hard time. Oh, and he does have one other friend that he talks to on the phone.
Okay.
But
so one friend is good,
little.
Actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All you need is one, they say. So that's a positive. And how old was he when you adopted him, or when he came?
He was 1 year old.
Okay, cool. So English is mostly his first language.
I think pretty much totally, because he doesn't recall, but they did. I was there, and I did hear them speak to him in Russian. So maybe he, somewhere in there, he understood what they said.
Yeah, but he's been here before. Okay, 15, cool. Good to know.
He's been here 15 years, so
yeah. All right, cool. Sometimes, I know I have that in a note somewhere, but I was walking around the house and I thought I'd just ask you. Instead of going back to find my head. All right, cool. Thanks, Jane. All right, Pat, what you got?
Just to make clear, so I'm looking for something to take aim. Is this on triggers?
It can be. I mean, it doesn't necessarily, Elaine always says it doesn't necessarily have to be on whatever the topic is for the day. Sometimes it works out that whatever is top of mind for you, or whatever is, you know, churning the most in your mind right now, happens to be related to the topic. But it can be really anything, because it's just about helping you to kind of focus on that energy and focus on what's going on in your life. And then as it's floating around and we talk about managing triggers, it may or may not relate to that, or something may pop up along the way that helps to solve that problem.
So what I need to take aim is what I'm trying to been take aim on and maybe it's my reaction to the smart remarks I get when people are angry, you know, when a request is made or to them.
So people you work with, people in your family.
Well,
who's making the smart remarks?
My son.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my son.
So trigger management right there, right?
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Cool. Awesome. So, yeah, I think everything that we're taking aim on is essentially going to dovetail to some extent into the topic. Let me see. Where did I put my notes? So we're on page 33 of the workbook. If you have the workbook handy, if you don't, no worries. You know, we spend a lot of time talking about triggers, and Diane and I are always very quick to admit that we are reformed or recovering yellers. And so trigger management is really, really important for us too. I grew up with a yeller, and in spite of all my desire not to be a yeller, I kind of became one too. And so it's really important for me to get that under control, because I remember how it feels, you know, being yelled at or having to deal with a parent who was really upset, and I didn't want to be that for my kids. So the important thing about triggers is to recognize that no one can push a button that doesn't already exist, right? So there's something in you that is being triggered when, you know, your kid's upset or having a tough time or whatever's going on. It's probably something you're already aware of. And so we can do all kinds of things to make sure that we've got those triggers under control. If you're not sure what your triggers are, keep a trigger journal. We have lots of people who, you know, write them down. And anytime you get upset, try to sit there and think about, you know, what was really going on there. And once you know or can recognize the things that trigger you, it's much easier to recognize when you're getting triggered and then take yourself out of that situation. Because it's impossible for us to parent effectively when we're upset, right? When we go into that primal, you know, fight or flight mode, that amygdala hijack, you know, we feel threatened or we feel scared or whatever that emotion is, you know, we can't have any rational thought in that moment. And I don't know about you guys, but in those situations, there have certainly been things that I have said that I wish I hadn't said. And if there was a reality TV show or a camera in my house at all times, I would be horrified if someone had recorded some of my more impressive triggered moments. But it feels like we're out of control, right, when we get triggered. And that's because you are. You know, your body is reacting. So the first thing that we're supposed to do when we recognize that we're being triggered is step out of the situation, right, and calm your brain, and truly calm your brain. I think a lot of times we step away or we think that we're calm, but we're really not. I think we've talked about this one before. One of the things that Diane likes to do is have water with her at all times, because it goes back to that primal caveman instinct. You know, as long as we are near a source of water or we're well hydrated, we're safe and we're going to survive. You can go meditate, you can go, you know, be mindful, you can go walk around the house, and it's okay to take, you know, 24 hours if you need to calm down. If whatever is going on is so triggering that you just need a lot of time away and some distance, that's fine too. Because what you need to do at that point is figure out what you're telling yourself. We've talked about this one before. What's the story you're telling yourself in your head? And then choose a new perspective. You know, what might also be true? Let's see, like if my son was melting down at school, we transferred him from a private school to public school, which was awesome. He'd been in the private school for a long time, and it was a school for kids with learning challenges and special needs. And he has ADHD, dysgraphia, and autism. And he's in seventh grade, and we got to transition him to public school this year, and it has gone unbelievably well. It's gone ridiculously well. Very happy with everything. But last week he had a really tough time, and there was a lot going on for him, and a kid was bugging him, kept tapping on his chair, and he'd asked him several times to stop, and then he just lost it. But he didn't hit the kid or anything. He yelled and was really disruptive in class. And I think anyone who didn't know him would look at that situation and say, oh my gosh, what a bad kid. I can't believe he had that reaction. You know, what's he freaking out over? But because I knew what was going on and I understood where he was coming from, I knew he was having a tough time dealing with the fact that this kid was bugging him and he couldn't figure out what else to do. And so that's the story that I tell myself when I see my child melting down or when I start to get really upset. You know, I think about what is it that's going on in my head, and what might also be true that can allow me to approach myself or the situation with more compassion or empathy. You know, we've talked several times about, you know, what other people think and how more often than not, that's the trigger, right? You know, my kid's going to get F's or he has F's and he's never going to be able to move out of the house, you know, and Jane, for your son, it could be that that's maybe his trigger too, right? He's concerned that he's not going to be able to. Huh?
What did you say would be the trigger?
That story in his head. I mean, you already know what his fear is since he was able to verbalize it. But it, you know, for another kid who may not be able to recognize that, I want to own my own business. You know, I want to join the army, and is thinking something else. I'm stupid. You know, I'm a failure. That comes out differently, and so because you're able to recognize that. It's not about him being a failure or a bad kid or stupid or anything like that. It's about the fear around owning his own business or not being able to be accepted into the armed forces.
Right.
And sometimes just that subtle shift makes a big difference in terms of triggers. Yeah. And then once you've figured out what the new story is or what the actual story is, then you figure out what to do to move forward from the new perspective. So maybe it's, okay, you know, here's what you need to do so that you can get accepted to the Army. Here are the things that people who need to get a small business loan need to have in order to qualify. Here are the things that I can do to help you reach those goals.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that you were triggered in this situation or that your reaction was anything but appropriate. I'm just using it as an example of where other people may have a different impression or a different way of looking at it that may not be so positive. Does that make sense so far?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So what's coming up for you guys? I'm looking back over my notes to make sure I haven't missed anything.
I like the idea of looking at it from a different perspective and trying to see something other than doom and gloom. Because it just creates sadness, and then there could be a shift in something. I spent a long time on the computer this morning looking for ideas for me to homeschool them instead of sending them to school, but you shifted out of private. He's in a very small private school. I think that the college prep might be difficult, but I'm loath to put a 16-year-old in a public high school around here because I just can't even imagine the numbers of kids in the classes, the drugs and the behaviors and him getting in the wrong group. And, he was in public school earlier and I had to pull him out of public middle school because it wasn't working. So I just feel stuck.
No, I hear you. I hear you.
And it was so bad about eighth grade that when I pulled him out, he had to be hospitalized a couple times that year because of self-harm. So he's gotten out of that. I know. And so that was really bad. And so I don't know if he did all that because of being so upset about school or himself or what, but that's pretty bad to be, you know, cutting and to the point where you have to be hospitalized several times a year. So he's not doing that now, so I guess that's something to celebrate. That's been about a year.
Absolutely, that's something to celebrate.
A year and 7 months.
That's
pretty
huge. Well, you know your son better than anyone, right? And you know, typically what types of schools and environments he's going to respond best to. And you also, I mean, you know that there's going to be bad kids and good kids and drugs and all kinds of things at any school.
but not in his school. They don't have kids like that, and they don't have the drugs. It's just a small private Christian school, and it's just so different there. They don't have all that. But on the other hand, it might be too difficult for him course-wise. I don't think he's not smart enough. I think his intelligence is average. I've had him tested. But I think the ADHD and the overwhelm with the number of major subjects, you know, six or seven of them, is just, I think, overwhelming. And then the amount of projects and stuff builds up to the point where you just, like, can't handle all that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think you trust your gut on that. It sounds like you kind of already know what the answer is. And so then the next step is, you know, what actions are you willing and able to take based on that information? Are you willing to go to the teachers and ask for a reduced workload for him? Does he need to repeat this school year? Can he repeat this school year? You know, do we need more accommodations? Does he have an IEP?
If it's at a private school, though, he wouldn't have one, though, right?
You can have one.
Yeah, he has a 504 that they have followed, and they've, you know, implemented that.
That's good.
So that's good. And what was some
But they don't want him to fail either, I would assume. You
know, I put him in a pre-first, so he's, like, already a year older than the kids in the 10th grade. They're 15, he's 16. So I could never see him repeating the year and being with kids 2 years younger. He would die. He would just hate
Yeah.
So he couldn't repeat.
No, I hear you.
He couldn't repeat. I don't know.
So that's that's all good information.
Yeah. So then
And you've already met with the teachers.
I met with a principal, and she tried to come up with some ideas. In fact, she had really good ideas. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, there's options. There's options.
Yeah. So that's encouraging and hopeful to know that there are options. Everything's not just set in stone all the time.
Right. And there's always options. You know, sometimes the options both suck, but hopefully one sucks less than the other.
Reduced workload might work.
Yeah, that's an accommodation lots of kids with ADHD have. Where everybody has to do, you know, problems 1 through 20. Maybe he only has to do the even number problems. And it's to their advantage, too, to have him pass. Because I'm assuming they get, you know, they have some kind of funding that they get.
Yes, they're trying to get accredited. So I don't think they want to have kids not passing.
Well,
yeah, they work hard to get their kids pass.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's put that on the back burner for a second and check in with Jennifer and Pat. What's going on for you guys in terms of trigger management?
Oh, I just, I'm probably not quite yet a reformed yeller. I'm a wannabe reformed yeller, which is better than not realizing that you shouldn't yell at all, I guess. But my daughter just, yeah, we just, she can push buttons. She's super,
she pushes your buttons.
Yeah. I think, so for her, so she's adopted from China, and we adopted her when she was 2, and so it'll be 5, so it'll be 7 in January. And she's just whip smart and, you know, and very socially aware and astute. I mean, sometimes more so than her brother, who's, you know, 6 years older. And so she sees everything that goes on, and she sees one of the dynamics that we have with her is she sees, because of his health issues and because of his other, you know, attention issues, you know, he gets a lot of attention. And so she will do things, even though, you know, they're not her thing. She'll do them because she sees him doing them. And that to me is just infuriating because,
you know, she doesn't need to do that.
She's too little to understand I don't know if too little is the right word, but she, like, it's like any attention is good attention. So the fact that I'm doing this thing, well, brother does this thing and brother, you know, gets all this attention from it. And it's like, okay, that's not good. Brother's getting not good attention. You doing the thing that he does to get not good attention as well is even more irritating. And I just, but she's too, like, you know, she's only six. We're about to be seven. She can't. Eh. And I think a lot of her control, I mean, obviously she didn't have control over the first 2 years of her life and everything that ensued there. And so I think there's that's kind of what I see happening. And yet, you know, she's so loved. She's such the perfect part of our family. She's, you know, completed our family in a way that it wasn't. And I've said all this to her because, you know, we talk really openly about different things like that. And yet somehow she, you know, will refuse to get out of bed in the morning, not because she doesn't want to get out of bed and not because she doesn't like to go to school, but because, you know, it's almost like she likes to cause a thing. And until she's caused a thing, she's not satisfied. And then once the thing happens and there's a huge blow up, she's fine. And then we go on our merry way, but it'd be nice to not have that.
Yeah.
And so I think the thing is I can articulate all that and I know all that, and yet I still participate. Right.
Right.
And that's
right.
That's
the question, right? What's going on in your mind when she's causing the thing or when she's kind of, you know, pushing your buttons? What button is it? And do you know how the button got there?
I think it's like a weird combination of, I'm sure Henry, if he could, I mean, Henry isn't choosing to be the way he is, and it would be nice for him if he was. It would be easier for him if he wasn't. So the fact that she is totally typically developing and totally fine and doesn't recognize that, I think maybe it's like a weird, like your brother would give anything to be normal. I would give anything for your brother to be normal, and yet, and you are, so you should do, you shouldn't do a thing. I mean, that's really what it is, right? I mean, I'm not really articulating it, but I'm feeling very emotional just about, like, you have it in your power to not have a problem, and yet you're having a problem. He doesn't have it in his power to not have a problem, and he's doing the best he can. You should, you know, be thankful you are totally typically developing. You should be, you know, right?
How realistic is it for a 6, almost 7-year-old to recognize?
It's not at all. It's totally not at all. And I'm probably also ascribing, I'm probably giving her maybe too much credit, but then maybe not, too. I mean, she's very...
No, I have no doubt she's smart, and I have no doubt that she senses the family dynamic well and that she understands the, I don't want to call it the game, you know, and that she is you know, and because I think this is true of a lot of girls, and it's a good thing, right, because we want our girls to be socially sensitive and aware and smart and bossy and demanding and all those things, because then they grow up to be strong leaders. But it's tough. And neurotypical kids do things too, right?
Right.
And her experience is unfortunately not Henry's. And so she, even though she gets that he's different and that he, you know, requires more attention and more help and just different things, she's going to try it on for size to see if it gets her something.
Right. Yeah. No, and
so
I
what
think...
can you tell yourself instead of, you know, you should be grateful that you're developing, which I know is not what you mean, but...
No, it's not what I mean. And I, you know, and it's not even quite that, because I think it's more just it's really trying to have I'm to give myself a small amount of credit. I have you know, it's like anything, at various points in time there's the well is better filled and I'm able to access it. And very often, like when I'm able to, like, so she's starting to have a thing and you can, you know, her face changes and she's just getting mad and she's like digging her heels in. And instead of, you know, meeting her with her same level of negative emotion, sometimes if you just grab her and hug her, you know, she tenses up and then she just lets go. Or like I just put my hand out and wait for her. I try to do it patiently. Sometimes I'm not patient. But just wait for her to take my, like, wait for her to, you know, we kind of have the standoff. And instead of me standing off and pulling back, I'm standing off it but reaching out. And that's helped sometimes. But, it's just, she needs compassion. She needs as much compassion as he does, just in a different way. And that's the thing I have to remind myself of. I mean, she definitely has her own issues about control and, you know, and she doesn't have, she's very securely attached to us. I'm not worried about that as much as just, you know, there's a story there that is not complete for her.
And she may not have the tools to express it yet either, you know.
Right.
And neurotypical kids don't necessarily have better tools than our complex kids do, you know. Or they still have to learn,
right.
You know, the verbiage and the, you know, to recognize, oh my gosh, I'm, you know, my stomach feels hot or sick or my hands feel hot. That means I'm getting angry. And, you know, what can I do when I'm angry? And it takes a long time for some kids to learn the, you know, not necessarily appropriate ways, but just any way to react to anger or frustration and express it in a way that's constructive, or supportive.
Right. So, yeah, so I think it's just kind of reminding myself that her need, the same thing, which is, you know, her, while her needs are different, she still has them. And she's, you know, has this learned behavior around how to get the attention that she's asking for. And I just need to see that she's asking for she's not going about it in a way that is helpful or constructive, but it's still there. And so, you know, when I think about it that way, I can totally react with compassion.
Okay.
So,
cool.
At least in theory.
Hello?
I wonder if we lost Jeremy.
Oh, okay. I thought, yeah, it doesn't sound like she's on.
Maybe if she can hear us, maybe she will figure that out and call back in or something. I don't know.
I hope so.
Well,
yeah,
the three of us can have a conversation.
The moderator has left the conference.
Okay, that was totally weird. All right, can you guys hear me now?
Yeah.
That was so strange. I could hear you. My phone wasn't muted. That was really strange. So you couldn't hear me. So I have to call back in.
I have a call back too. They said the moderator left the call.
Well, yeah, because I hung up and dialed back in. But that's weird.
Oh.
I don't know why it would have muted me though.
Strange. But we're back now. Jennifer, I think we were just kind of wrapping up.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Okay. Pat, you were going to share with us what's going on for you in terms of trigger management.
What I have learned about myself is that I do know when I am very tired and stressed, that's when triggers are worse. So
yep.
I've learned to, okay, you're really tired, you know, ignore him. It's not his fault you're tired, you know. So I have to keep that in mind. And then I'm trying to be curious about, okay, is it late at night? Is he hungry? Is he stressed? My son doesn't know how to say he's stressed yet. Because he's actually recognized maybe another day that he was stressed and he just didn't know it. So so I'm trying to be more aware of what's going on so that, you know, when he does things, I don't, you know, I can think about it for a minute before I react.
Yeah. Yeah, those are good points. Absolutely. That self-care piece is important for us, right? That hungry, angry, lonely, tired. We're always more likely to react strongly or negatively when we're any of those things. We call it, you know, I have HALT or you're hangry. So that's always something to keep in mind, too. And yeah, that's one of our first go-tos as well. If our son's really cranky and snappy, then my guess is that he has forgotten to eat because he doesn't feel hungry. And that's usually the prime driver behind his upset. But those are all great things to remember. Thank you. So, okay, we've got about 10 minutes left. We can do some laser coaching, or we can kind of go through the checkout process or kick around managing triggers a little bit longer. I know I always throw this out there and then I end up choosing. I'd like to give you the option in case someone has a burning desire.
Well, this is Pat. I have a question then that's not really a trigger. And maybe you can tell me where to go. We're working with my son on a planner. And the issue is, and I get this, he doesn't like to write everything down. He's not a good writer. I mean, to him, that's busy work, and I understand, you know. She told me this is due tomorrow. Now you want me to write all this down that it's due tomorrow. You know, I get that for him. So what he's been doing is taking a picture of the board, which to me that's good. But now his teacher just sent a note and said, okay. So he's got the habit of taking a picture. That's good. We can look at the picture. And then, you know, but he's not writing anything in his planner. And they want him to write because they say next year he will have to write. I don't know if it's part of his grade. What's an in-between step I can do and work with the teacher? Okay, he's taken the picture. Can we only maybe write these things down in the planner right now and get him used to that piece, like maybe long-term projects? And then... And maybe the stuff that's not on the board. There's one thing they don't put on the board. But let the other stuff, you know, be the picture. And what I've always told is start with baby steps. Because for me to tell him he's got to copy everything, there'll be major.
Oh, for sure.
Boring. But is there? Should I try and go back and say, can we start with this? And then after a couple of months, then we go to another step. Does that make sense?
Well,
or is there another way to do it?
No, I think that's a great way to do it. But I'm also wondering, you know, if he has an IEP or 504, if that can't be an accommodation for him. You know, everybody else has to.
Well, he's at a private school, so that we have met with them and we have. I think her concern is what this means for next year, which I didn't know about that. Which I'm glad they told me because he'll be in sixth grade. He'll be in middle school, so. And I can make it an accommodation, but at the same time, you know, he's going to have to know everybody else is doing this, you know, and at some point he wants to do what everybody else does. But I just didn't know because I have been told there's some kids that don't write in their planner. They just take pictures or they do other things that worked for them. So I just didn't know if that made sense if I should try an in-between step, and I can discuss with her, you know, what's really done in sixth grade, and I can go back ask for a modification then.
I have one little observation. It sounds great that he's doing the thing that he's supposed to be doing and has found a way that works for him. And I, at least in our experience, I've found if I had a nickel for every time a teacher said, oh, well, next year he's going to be a mess. Oh, next year if he doesn't do this thing now, then next year, you know, you might as well not even bother to show up on the first day of school. And every year he makes his way. And so, I mean, I totally get wanting to have him wanting to do what everyone else is doing and you wanting him to do what other people are doing. But at the same time, if he's doing the thing, which sounds like he's great in doing it, you know, maybe worry about next year. Would just be a thought.
Well, I mean, I can talk to her. I mean, and I think what I'm going to have to do is tell her this can't be a 100%. I mean, and I will just make this comment. It's so frustrating. I know the teachers say they understand, but they really don't understand.
They don't.
I mean, if they could sit in his little mind and say, you know, he got the picture. You should be like celebrating he got the picture.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
He's using
you know,
it. He's turning his assignments in, or he at least knows what his assignment is, right?
Yeah,
that's
yeah. And granted, he has some misses, and we need to work on those. So what I'll do is probably reply back to her and tell her, can we take it in steps? And then I will ask her, can somebody give me more information about next year, just so I know long-term what's coming up. I'm not going to try and do that all this year, but at least when we walk in next year, I'll know the first thing I have to talk to the sixth grade teachers about. So.
And it may be, I mean, there may be something else, too, that I'm thinking about my kids at schools, you know, and some teachers in junior high, they just put everything online, or maybe they do text reminders, and I don't know how your school is set up. Maybe they don't do any of that, but it may be that they already have something in place that isn't going to require the planner or is a backup to the planner. He doesn't actually have to write anything down that you can easily access. Is there some other question about his phone or using his phone in class? I'm just trying to get...
No, actually, it's a school eye planner, and next year he'll have a laptop. So as long as it's part of the school, so I can't imagine he can't be the only kid that's doing this, because it was a great way to take it and say, let me go home and make sure I didn't miss anything.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
But
they're concerned about his handwriting, or are they?
No, I think she's concerned that he's. I think she thought he was going to go a little further than he did, and I think she's concerned about what happens next year if he's not in the habit of writing anything down. So I need to talk to her and see what we can do between, you know, now and the end of the year. Maybe we work on long-term things, because they actually have a place in their planner to write things for next week. And he has forgotten some stuff where they're expecting that they're not going to send an email like, you must wear a formal uniform tomorrow. They're expecting him to have heard it in class and remember or write it down. So, that's okay. He did it. He wore the wrong thing one time. So that was a little reminder for him of, I got to pay attention, you know, which is okay. I mean, he didn't get in trouble or anything, but, So I just need to work with them what the expectations. I just didn't know if there were other things that people did for planners. I knew the take a picture. So I'll work with him and I'll work with the teacher to what we can do for the next half of the year. It'll be next semester.
Yeah. Well, it definitely sounds like you have a lot of great ideas and you're on the right path. I hope that they're flexible and that they decide to work with you even more so, because it sounds like he's doing a great job. And I would hate for him to have to take a step backwards if it's not necessary. So let's do a quick checkout. Let's see. At the end of each call, we have the four questions. You know, what did I focus on or pay most attention to during our call? What was my aha or takeaway? Sometimes they're the same thing. What's an action step I'm willing to take, and do I have what I need to be successful with that action? I'll take a second or two and think about your answers and then just chime in when you're ready.
I have this really long to-do list because this is the last. So I have the day off, and then kids are off starting tomorrow, you know, next week. So this long list of things that have to be done, and PSS call at 9 is on my list. And I was, as I was looking at you know, at one point at the list, I was like, oh, I don't know if I can do it. And I'm so glad I did, and I just crossed it off, and it feels so satisfying on so many levels. So,
awesome.
I'm just gonna really practice. I was thinking about what I can't remember if it was Pat
or Jane.
Or Jane, who said earlier, just like the shift in thinking and how the relationship is more the most important thing. And I really, I mean, that is true all year long, but especially, especially this time of year, you don't want to be yelling at your kids. So
yeah,
I feel like that has been my key takeaway and thinking about going into this week. And then, just really thinking about when, because there's all kinds of heightened expectations and all kinds of time together that are ripe for disaster. But it's not going to be like that. We're going to be mindful, going to have compassion, going to think about where they're coming from, both of them, because it's different places. I feel like I have a good balance of good quality time with them, some of it scheduled, some of it free, but I also have time for myself to go do things that kind of refill my buckets. And so I think that was my takeaway, my action step, my setup for success, and whatever the last thing was. Or the other, the fourth thing.
Yeah, do you have what you need to be set up for success? We flipped him around a little bit, but that's totally
fine.
So.
Yeah, I mean, having the call and just kind of getting refocused and then thinking about how the 2 weeks are structured.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm so glad. Awesome.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Thank you.
Yay.
Thank you for your support this year.
Of course. Thank you. Happy holidays.
Yeah,
it'll be a while before we talk again.
Yeah.
All right. Who wants to go next?
Oh, this is Jane. I guess I will. I like the so the aha is the knowing that there are other options than just the ones I was thinking of. You opened my eyes to a few others so that there's always options. We're not like stuck in doomed, gloom and doom, which is what I thought, that there was such limited options. But that was that. And then the relationship continues to be in the forefront of my mind because, you know, he's in 10th grade. Pretty soon, time goes by, and he'll be out of school or maybe out of the house, and then I'll be thinking, you know, what was our whole relationship in life like? Was it me screaming about grades? I mean, how important is that in the big picture? And I will so regret that if that's all we did.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
When they're little,
oh, sure.
7, 8, 9, middle school, then, you know, you feel like you have all this time. But now I feel like I don't want that to be our existence of screaming about, you know, schoolwork. Because it's difficult for him. I don't, you know, it's certainly, when I think of it with compassion, it's certainly nothing that he would have wanted to have struggles with school. It's not purposeful. You know, he doesn't want to have. But to me, my trigger is when I walk in his bedroom and he's slouched back in his big chair in front of the Xbox. And I'm like, Joshua, you're done? Did you do your homework? All done, Mom. Meanwhile, I can look online and see 25 things that are missing that he should be doing. But, you know, and if I start on about that, all it does is cause, and I've learned this the hard way, overwhelm, upset, and he's like stressed so much that he can't even begin that other work. So the Xbox is probably his release to just get on there and just, okay, forget about it. You know, I'm going to do this. Or take a bath. He takes that for relaxing, I think, and that's good.
Ooh.
Because he's figured out some, yeah, he's figured out some ways to either avoid homework or to relax himself and get away from the stress. But, you know, at least he's, you know, I just.
So what's the action step you're going to take?
My action step is to explore the more of the alternatives that we could pursue with the school, such as even a reduced course load, and talk with the principal about that. And I'm still going to check out homeschooling. I don't know.
No, I think that's very common. And we've got a couple of good resources, I think, on our website about homeschooling, too. I'll see if I can find one and post it in the forum. Well, do you have everything you need to be successful with those things? Lists and phone numbers and people to contact? I'm sure you do.
I do. I did. I did research all that at one point. So I have folders and all that stuff.
That's awesome. I would have to go research it all again because I wouldn't remember where I put the folder.
Well, it's online, too. I mean, I know a couple of the groups. It's just, you know, it's hard to figure out when it's time.
When the right time is.
Yeah. Because if you put in half a year of, you know, working so hard in these classes, you hate to kind of, like, pull them out in the middle of 10th grade. But I will if it affects his self-esteem to the point where he's thinking
good.
About dropping
That's
out.
That's the most important part. Yeah. Good for you. That's hard. Well, awesome. Let us know how it goes, okay?
Thank you. I will.
All right, cool. Pat, you ready?
Okay, I think this was just a reminder call to me of not letting things stress me and things, little things, because, yes, it's the big picture. It's not the one night of homework, you know, that matters. What I'm going to take aim is paying attention more to what I'm reacting to and maybe figure out what are the key things he says that, you know, push me over the edge. And when I hear that, just walk away if I need to and come back after I take a break.
Okay. And what are you going to do to remind yourself?
Probably just, you know, when I get triggered, I'm just going to count to 10 or something. And
okay. Get yourself back to calm.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much. Have a happy holiday and a happy new year. And we will talk next year.
Excellent.
Thank you. Same
thank
to you.
You. Take care, guys.
Take care.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference.